Thank you, William. Well, good evening again to all of you. It's a real privilege to be with you tonight, and I'm bringing greetings. I'm bringing greetings from the Bible Institute of South Africa. Thank you for praying for us, and you have seen some faces of these students that are with us tonight. Thank you that you are keeping us up in your prayers. The Lord is good to the Bible Institute. It is wonderful to know we have 99 years behind us of God's great mercies to us. I'm also bringing greetings from Scarborough Community Church, where I'm the pastor. We were about, I would say, about 50 people this morning. It's still a young church. I think it's the furthest church from you south. You know, if you go further south, you're on the ocean. So, but it's a real pleasure to be with you. And my wife have convinced me I must preach the same message that I've preached this morning. So may the Lord bless it here. I was planning something else, but I think she's right. This might be a more appropriate message for tonight. Talking about Marl, we have just had our 30th anniversary, and we are blessed with 5 grandchildren now. So things have happened since we have seen one another. So it's good to be with you tonight. Our passage tonight is Psalm 118. So that's where we are tonight. You know, we have just sang Psalm 23, and it was said it's one of the most well-known hymns and songs. You know, my father grew up in a very difficult circumstances without a father, working as a young boy in a farm of another farmer. And when he was 14 years old, he got his first pair of shoes, was put on a train on Bitterfontein to go to Bloemfontein for his schooling. And as we have learned to know him as children, and we figured out he grew up outside of the church, he's a believer today, he once said the most important reason why he thinks young people must attend church is to learn songs and hymns. Because one day when they have trouble, one day when they suffer, when they need to pray, these songs and psalms will come back to them. Now, as a church, we are going through, I'm saying that as an introduction, as a church, we are going through the gospel according to Mark at the moment, and we are in chapter 14. And you know, in Mark chapter 14, verse 25, there's this interesting verse, before we go to Psalm 118, there's this interesting verse. Jesus is having the Last Supper with his disciples. He knows that he's going to betray at this point. He knows it from the beginning, of course, by Judas Iscariot. He's talking to Peter, who's going to deny him. He knows his disciples are going to fail him. And then it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. In other words, the Lord Jesus, who is singing hymns. He knew songs and psalms and hymns. And the question is, what was he singing? And why was he singing? And of course, we know they were singing from the Hallel, from the praise songs that they would be singing as they celebrate the Passover. So they were at the end of the Passover, and probably the last hymn that Jesus sang was Psalm 118. And for that reason, we are turning there to Psalm 118. And what I'm going to do tonight, I will not read the psalm from the beginning. I will read a few verses and then do the topic and then carry on until the last verse in 29. So if you can open your Bibles at Psalm 118, we'll take it from there. I'm going to use the ESV translation. So if you wonder which translation I'm using, that's the translation. You don't have a handout or a sermon outline before you. I've prepared one for our congregation, but there's 5 points. And I'll give them to you. All starts with a T. It's easy to remember. The first point is it's a call to thankfulness. It's a call to trust. It's a call to triumph. It's a call to testify. And it's a call to truth. But next to truth, I thought, no, truth is not the best word. So I scratched it out and I wrote out a call to Jesus Christ to make it more personal. So Psalm 118. This is a great psalm. It's a psalm full of joy. You know, if you take your Bible and you basically just dropped it open, like this one in my hand, it will probably drop open right in the middle. And in the middle is Psalm 118. The psalm before that is the shortest psalm in the Bible, is Psalm 117. The psalm after that is Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible. And guess which psalm is quoted most in the New Testament? Psalm 118. And guess which verse is quoted most in the New Testament? It's the verse that says, the stone that had been rejected have become the cornerstone. Of course, Jesus have quoted that verse many times about himself. So Psalm 118 is a psalm. It's a messianic psalm. It's a psalm about the Lord Jesus. It is full of joy. It is full of praise. It is full of Christ. And this is the psalm that the Lord Jesus sang with his disciples. You know, and it's really interesting if we read the first four verses to see that it's about thankfulness. Now remember what's going on in Jesus' heart. He knows that he's on his way to the cross. He's going to suffer like no human being have suffered before or after him. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be denied. He's going to be failed by his disciples. He's going to go through an enormous amount of pain. A lot of injustice will be done against him. And so Jesus, with this all in mind, sing with his disciples the first four verses of Psalm 118. It goes like follows. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, sometimes we worship God because he is doing good things for us. You know, we pray that he will help us with our health, and sure enough, we become better and we survive. We have an exam, and sure enough, he helps us and we pass the exam. We have financial problems and he helps us out. But God is more than that. He is good. He is not cruel. You know, the other day in a Bible study, we have our Bible studies on a Thursday night. There was a young believer, and she asked in a very arrogant way, who made all these decisions, talking about the living God? And we had to kindly and with love tell her, this God, this sovereign God that we worship is a good God. He is good. He's a good God. For his steadfast love, his mercy endures forever. Let Israel say his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say his steadfast love endures forever. In other words, these first four verses says, let everybody say the steadfast love, the mercy of the Lord, his loving kindness endures forever. Israel, the spiritual leaders, but also who? Those who fear the Lord. And here we are today. We are from Japan and Somalia and from Germany and South Africa and KwaZulu-Natal and from wherever. We are from Zimbabwe. We are from all over the world. We are Gentiles. Let all, let everyone, all believers say he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. This is how Jesus is facing the cross. He sings this hymn. It is burning in his heart. He goes with this hymn to Gethsemane, a call to thankfulness. It brings me to the second T, a call to trust, verses 5 to 9. Now, I have said right in the middle of the Bible, there's Psalm 118, and some of you probably know what is the verses that are right in the middle of the Bible. It's Psalm 118, and we are talking about sentences and verses now, verse 8 and 9, verses that speaks about trust. Put your trust in Christ. Put your trust in Christ. This is the center of the Bible. It must be the center of our lives. Let me read it for us together. I'm picking up from verse 5. Out of my distress I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. Then verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes. Verse 5 again. Out of my distress. Oh dear friends, I'm not quite sure what distresses you have. Tonight, we all have our times of distress, don't we? Sometimes it's because of relationship sometimes because of work, sometimes because of uncertainties, health. The Bible makes it quite clear. Out of my distress, when we are in distress, there is one thing we must and can do. Call upon the Lord. Call upon Him. Call on the Lord. There is the Lord Jesus Himself going to the cross. Surely, fully God, fully man, in His distress, He called on His Father. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear, He sings. What can man do to me? The Lord our Heavenly Father, is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. And then those middle verses, right in the center of the Bible, which must also be the center of our lives. Put your trust in Him. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Take refuge in the Lord. Not in man, not in princes. Coming to the third T, we have talked about a call to thankfulness, a call to trust, a call to triumph, verses 10 to 14. And what a passage this is. All nations, this is the Lord Jesus saying, all nations surrounded me. You must remember, you know, the Romans, just like today, wealthy nations today do the same thing. The Romans have took people from all nations to be part of their armies, to be part of their soldiers. So there were people from all over the world, from Africa, from the Middle East. They were there. People from all nations were standing around that cross of the Lord Jesus. All nations surrounded me in the name of the Lord. I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side in the name of the Lord. I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. And in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard. I mean, just think of the Lord Jesus on the way to the cross. I was pushed hard so that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song and my salvation. What a verse. What a passage. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength, He's my song, and He has become my salvation. Yesterday morning, once a month, we have a men's breakfast. And interesting, most of the men that comes to the breakfast never come to church. They just come for this free breakfast. Hussein was one of the men that gave his testimony, I think, about a year ago. And yesterday, again, there was about 15 men. Most of these men I've never met before. So you don't know where these men come from, what is their backgrounds. But at least we know the man. It was a retired pastor, John Bomer, who gave his testimony, powerful testimony. And he was basically saying to us at one point that when he came to Christ as a man in his early 20s, he experienced nothing. Nothing happened to him. Everything was the same. He still walked out. You know, he exited the house from the pastor where he was, same way as he has entered. But he says one day, shortly afterwards, a few weeks later, he was entering a shop. And as he entered the shop carrying a package, just suddenly he was aware of this enormous amount of joy within him. It was just flooding his whole being. He had joy. Just joy. He could not explain this joy that he had experienced. You see, this is what the Psalms, what the Lord Jesus says here. The Lord is my strength, my song, and my salvation. He has become my source of joy. Believers have joy, even in the midst of distress, of great mountains we have to climb. We have this joy that is being poured out in our lives by the Holy Spirit, by Christ Himself. Which brings us to the next one, a call to testify, verses 15 to 18. So we have covered now a call to thankfulness. A call to trust, a call to triumph, and now a call to testify, verses 15 to 18. And let me read that together for us. Let me pick up from verse 15. It says the following, glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live, and recounts the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Now, if you read these words, you realize these words are being sung by people who are thinking back of an experience of great deliverance. They are thinking back to the time in Egypt where God had brought them out from the Egyptians. But not only the Egyptians. Remember, they had to slaughter a lamb. They had to put blood on their doorpost, reminding them and pointing forwards to Christ that will come. And then the angel of death came, and every firstborn child was killed of the house where there was no blood. So even a great deliverance from death itself, not only from those who enslaved them. But it also tells us, these verses, of the security that we have in our faithful God. We have a great security within him. I want to go back to the testimony of yesterday, John Boehmer. He's giving his testimony, and he comes to an abrupt end. And usually, you know, the men that sits there, many of them come from very rough and unbelieving backgrounds, and you never know what they might say or ask. And there was a man, his hand went up quite quickly, and he said one word. He says, forgiveness. He says, I cannot forgive my son. It's in Germany. I cannot forgive my son. What do you think about that? Just like that. What do you think about that? What do you say about that? Now, I'm sure you as a believer here tonight will be able to answer, will you not? Perhaps you struggle with forgiveness. Perhaps you have a root of bitterness. Perhaps you have a son, a wayward child, that makes life very difficult for you. Cannot live with that anymore. It's becoming, the burden is too much for me. And Pastor John, you know, he looked at him with great sympathy. And he said, you know, it's by faith, it's with the help of Christ we can do that. You need to take that, you need to do that in faith, my brother. Otherwise the bitterness will kill you. You see, he gave him a word of testimony out of an experience of great deliverance, out of an awareness that he's in the hands of a faithful God. Just as Jesus have sang here from Psalm 118. Let's pray with you, brother. Come, brother Neil, let's pray with you that through faith the Lord will enable you. But of course the question is, do you have faith, brother Neil? Do you have faith? Brings me to the last T, truth, you want to call to Jesus Christ. It's from verse 19 to 29. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them. You know, just think of Jesus here. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. And I thank you that you have answered me, and I have become and have become my salvation. The stone, verse 22, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Allow me to say a few words about the stone that the builders rejected. You know, I used a metaphor this morning. You will see right here in front is a brick from my house. I didn't took it this morning, but I thought, let me bring one here. Just as a picture. You know, if we get into a plane tonight, all of us, and we fly over to Israel. We will arrive there. Their time zone is the same as ours. We'll probably arrive very early morning. We'll book in, and one of the first things we will visit is the Western Wall. And then the guide will say, come, let me take you down. We are going to the tunnel, the Western Wall tunnel, and they will take us underground, under the Islamic quarters. And they are going to take us to the foundation of the temple. And when you are going to be there, you will see one of the biggest stones that there is on this planet, one of the biggest bricks there is, the Western Stone. And I couldn't believe it when I saw it with my own eyes, about 14 meters long, about 3.5 meters high. That is huge. I mean, 14 meters, probably there all the way to Chris, more or less. 3.5 meters higher than this roof. They have no idea how deep it is. They've done all sorts of tests, conservatively about 2 meters, but there are some people that think it's as much as 60 meters, 300 to 500 tons. I'm asking you humbly, who can reject a stone like that? It's laughable, isn't it? That thing will crush you. When you stand in front of that stone, you are in awe. You're thinking, you just have questions. How did it get here? Who have put it here? How in the world have they moved this massive rock? You know, it's just a picture. I mean, they have seen the temple. They have been there. They probably also thought, the stone that the builders have rejected, the rock of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ that went to the cross, how dare we think it can be rejected? Yes, we can turn our backs on him and walk away. It will change nothing. He will stay the Christ. He is the Almighty. He is the sovereign God. He is the one who died on the cross, who crushed the head of the serpent. Have become the cornerstone, the capstone. This is our Christ. He is huge. He's much bigger than us. He's strong. Our lives are being planted and rooted on him and nothing else. You know, it's quite interesting. There's a passage here that I will unpack with you. I didn't do it this morning with Scarborough. You know, it's this whole passage around the altar. Verse 27, the Lord is God and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. What are you thinking when you read these words? What comes to your mind? If you go to the last chapter of Hebrews, you will see this is the cross, my friend. This is our Christ. This is the Lord Jesus who is being nailed to that cross. There's no other way to interpret this if this is a messianic psalm. It speaks of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's no wonder if you look at these verses. You know, just look at verse 25. Save us, we pray, O Lord. 25, 26. 27. The Lord is God. 28. You are my God. A call to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm coming to a conclusion. This must be a key psalm for us as we are thinking ahead to Easter. As we are thinking of Europe, Russia and Ukraine. Marl's brother is a missionary in Slovakia. He's been there for more than 20 years now. They are living 70 kilometers from the Ukraine border. This morning, when they got to the church, it was packed with refugees, people that have stayed over, having meals there. We've seen the photos, sitting with him in his service. Why do they do that? Why do they go to the churches? Because there is a God. There is Christ. There is mercy. I'm sure they know these words. His steadfast love His steadfast love endures forever. There's a people. Five times in this psalm it comes up. His steadfast love endures forever. Let's see if it's true in these lives of these Christians in these churches. My dear friends, the psalm that the Lord Jesus has sang, Psalm 118, the words of this psalm that is in his mind as he goes to the cross in this night, as he's being arrested, as he's being spit on, as he's being falsely accused on the behalf of our sins, he praises and first of all he thanks the living God, his Father, the Heavenly Father, because he's good. He is good. He is good. Steadfast love endures forever. His trust is in his Father. Our trust is in Christ. Again, as he sings the psalm, as fully man, fully God, and we need to do the same, putting his trust in his Heavenly Father's hand. We need to put our trust in the hands that was nailed to that cross, the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a call to triumph. Victories. You know this man who gave his testimony yesterday, he said he wished he became a believer when he was six. Somebody asked him, why six? He said, then I would have had less regrets. And then he said, I'll give you one example. And then he told the story of a boy that they have bullied at school. And then as a pastor, many decades later, 50 years later, he was asked to speak at the school reunion. And this man came to his mind, the man that he bullied. And he asked everybody, where's this man? And they said, didn't you hear? Committed suicide a few weeks ago. He regretted that he never made right with that man. Regretted. Triumph. The Lord is my strength, my song and my salvation. Perhaps tonight the Lord brings somebody up before you that you need to make right with. We are a victorious people in Christ. We don't have to live with regret forever. We are worshiping a God that forgives our sin. And that gives us a testimony. The psalm gives us a testimony. I will not die, I will live. Oh, my dear friends, we are going to live forever. We will not die. You know what happened to a bee, these bees that were around the Lord Jesus? You know what happened with a bee when he stung you? They die. Death. We will not die. We are not the bees. We are Christ's. And then the last one, a call to Christ. Oh, my dear friends, I cannot help to think about that great stone again. He's our rock of our salvation. There is no other truth. We cannot reject him. We must not reject him. It is folly. We must embrace him. The love of the Lord Jesus endures forever. Perhaps tonight, I don't know you well, we're just visiting the church here tonight, but perhaps there is someone here tonight that have bumped his head many times now against this rock, against the Lord Jesus who's so loving. Will you not bow your head and your heart with me tonight again and let us rest our lives, our hearts in his hands. The Lord Jesus, we come to you. You are our Savior. And you went to this cross with these words in your heart and in your mind, in the mind of your disciples that failed you, that denied you, that betrayed you, ran away. But there you were, singing this great hymn, Psalm 118, a call to thankfulness, because you are a good God. A call to us tonight again to put our lives and our trust in you so that we can answer this great call of triumph to live a life with strength, a life in which our salvation is present, a life in which there is joy, so that we can testify that we will live, so that we can answer questions of others that do not know how to forgive. But above all, O Lord Jesus, this psalm is a call to yourself, to you whose love will endure forever. And we want to come willingly tonight, O Lord. We want to submit our lives, our troubles, our mountains, our doubts, our hurts, our bitterness, our questions, I want to come again to you, Lord Jesus, and just lay down at the foot of your cross. Oh Lord Jesus, help us, have mercy upon us, remember us, give us the wisdom that we need. I pray for Kraaifontein Baptist Church. Bless them, bless their leadership, O Lord. And thank you that it is going well with them as a church. In your wonderful name, Lord Jesus, amen.